what is your day-to-day like now?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on the show. Things are good. I guess in perspective of a lot of people around the world, just quarantining here in Buffalo at my house, and I'm trying to stay as busy as possible. You know, work it out, trying to find different things to do, reading. Kind of cruising around the neighborhood on my longboard, just whatever I can do to pass the time.
Was there? Everybody has a story as it relates to this. If we go back to March the 11th, when the entire sports world changed, Rudy Gobert test positive for COVID-19, the NBA shuts down, the NHL shortly after follows suit. What was happening with you on that Wednesday? When did you hear all about it? The questions you had. Take us back to the Jack Eichel March 11th story.
Yeah. Actually, we were in Montreal. We were getting ready to play the Canadiens on Thursday, so we actually had a team dinner that Wednesday with all the coaches and the staff and everyone. Ralph Kruger, obviously, he has a lot of ties to Europe and Switzerland and Germany. So he was actually telling me and Rhino about how serious obviously we knew how serious it was and how it was coming over the States, but he was telling us that he was expecting our league to have a work stoppage here very soon just because of the effects of this virus. So I think that kind of opened our eyes, and then later that night, obviously, we were watching I think we were watching Winnipeg and Edmonton, and I think that at that point was when mm-hmm. was when the NBA started to make the decision to stop playing. And then I think as soon as that happened, we all kind of expected we would follow suit, just with the fact that we play in a lot of the same arenas and have a very similar schedule. We, share planes for a part of the season. So I think we were just kind of expecting the same thing, and obviously that happened.
Berkey?
Yeah, Jack, it's too bad I wasn't involved with the USA Hockey when you came through. I would have loved to have you on one of my teams. We talked about when we do your games on TV, we talk about your economical skating style. When did you develop that? Because I remember watching you skate in Ann Arbor when you were 17 and marveling at your skating ability, your very economical style. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I think when I was growing up, I obviously tried to work on my power skating a lot with the power skating coach, and every summer it was one of my goals to try and get faster between the off-ice training and working on the ice. And I was always just trying to lengthen my stride. I thought the longer my stride, the more powerful it was, the faster it would be. And a lot of people to credit to for helping me get that. Obviously a lot of different exercises in the weight room to try and, help get faster. And, I don't really know. I was just always trying to, make it longer. And obviously, this is kind of the product of it.
Justin Bourne, go ahead. You're on with Jack Eichel.
Jack, you've always seemed like someone to me who's motivated by team success. You can see that passion and that competitiveness come out from you in close games and big games. But at the same time, I can't help but wonder how much you're motivated by individual success as well. How much do you think about that, when you consider yourself and how you stack up against the best players in the league, the Nathan MacKinnons and McDavids? How much does that motivate you, individual success?
Yeah, I think obviously just the competitiveness of anybody, I think you just want to be the best, and I'm no different. I want to be the best player in the world, and of course I try and try and compare myself to them and where my game's at, and I understand that there's things I need to work on to take the next step, and I always I'm always trying to find a way to get better, and I think everyone's motivated by different things. Obviously I want to be the best player I can be, and you're not trying to compare yourself to other guys too much, but obviously when you see these guys play and the impact they have on their team, and you just want to have that same impact on your team, and obviously motivated by that. And I think you know, the harder I work to, you know, to be a better player, you know, myself, I think that'll just continue to help our team. And, you know, that's kind of the mindset I have.
You mentioned Ralph Kruger a couple of moments ago, and we talked to you, Elliot and I did it in Chicago at the NHL car wash, and you talked about that legendary dinner that the two of you had, and it seemed as if every day on the NHL calendar so far this season, you two have been on the exact same page. He was on the program a couple of weeks ago, and we talked about the Columbus game and overtime and the turnover to Foligno and how he took responsibility for it, said I was overplaying Eichel. Talk to us a little bit, if you could, about the relationship that you two have and how you're able to build trust with one another that quickly.
Yeah, I think, well, I mean, I think, as you mentioned, that, you know, that dinner really, you know, really started us off on the right foot. I think whenever that's your first impression with someone, I was blown away by his personability, just everything about him, really. You know, his demeanor, the way that he handles himself in the locker room in front of everyone every day. So obviously he's somebody that I look up to a lot as a role model for, you know, leadership. And so obviously there's such a great respect there, and I think that it's mutual between the two of us. And I think the line of communication is just so open, and he's always, you know, seeing how I'm doing that day and where my head's at. And I think that he does a great job of getting a pulse on the team and knowing the pulse on the team and when to, you know, when to act, you know, a certain way. And I think that just our relationships, you know, the trust there, the trust between the two of us that, you know, no matter what, we can say what we need to say to each other. And, you know, he's been so helpful to me. I can't say enough good things about him. And you know, as a young captain, to have a coach like that, I think it makes my job so much easier.
Berkey, last one to you.
The wrist shot, Jack. The classic wrist shot that was almost obsolete. You're bringing it back, buddy. Tell us how that developed.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, you're always trying to find different ways to score goals. And, you know, I think being a half-wall player, you know, you gotta find ways to, you know, shoot the puck from the half-wall. And, you know, with goalies being as good as they are in these days, I think it's important to be deceptive and still have a heavy release. So, yeah, I mean, obviously I work on my shot a lot in the summer. You know, it's such an important part of the game these days, and scoring, you know, obviously it seems like it's went up in our league, which is great. And yeah, just trying to continue to work on it, continue to try and find you know, different ways to score goals.
Listen, we know you're
it's really deceptive. It's hard for the goaltenders.
Yeah, I mean, they're so big these days, and you know, they're positioning so well, you know, it's tough on us. So I think that, you know, you're always trying to find different ways and you know, try and keep them off balance.